This is Karen Musgrave, and I'm doing a Quilters SOS Save Our Stories interview with Terry Henderson Tope. Today's date is June 20th, 2008. We are in Columbus, Ohio at the National Quilting Association's Quilt Show. It is now 9:26 in the morning. And Terry, thank you so much for taking time to do this interview with me. And let's start by having you tell me about the quilt that you brought today.
The quilt that I brought today is Quilting Frenzy. It was originally, the concept was originally for the Moda Challenge in 2004, which consisted of a collection of beige on beige prints. Well, I'm not a beige on beige print kind of gal, so I collected every bright Moda that I could come up with, and the fabric on the back of this quilt actually inspired the front, which is kind of an interesting point. You see the pattern on the back has incredible amount of tiny, tiny little sewing utensils. Well, the idea behind this quilt, or the concept behind this quilt, was the fact that as quilters and with my family, I will start a project and I will say, show them, this is a little block. This is where the quilt is starting. And I'll walk in a day later, here's five blocks in a row. And a week later, here's half the quilt finished. And by the time it's finished, I want, look, the quilt's done. They have seen it 100 times and could care less. Seriously, yeah, great mom, you know, great quilt. But if I get on the phone and I call my quilting friends, they come over and they do the happy dance with me because the quilt's done and the binding's on and it looks great. It actually is a cartoon portrait of myself and my two dearest sewing friends, Joanne Purcell and Liz Canty, dancing in my sewing room, which is a cluttered, crazy mess. So it is just an incredibly fun quilt, and I thought it is indicative of how I feel about quilting and my friends as far as, you know, my style, and Quilting Frenzy.
So this does reflect your style?
Yes, it does, 100%. I am a hand applicator. It is hand applicated and hand quilted. The board around the outside is pieced, but I definitely like high contrast, and if it's not fun, I'm not going to do it. So it's kind of one of those, you won't find a fussy, silly, crazy, tiny, antique-y looking thing in my collection. So.
So did you enter it in the Moda Challenge?
Yes, locally. The way that challenge worked is you entered it in your local shop, and the winners from the local shops went on to a district, et cetera, et cetera. It placed somewhere but wasn't the first prize winner, nor should it have been, having up against some of what I saw in the collection were absolutely beautiful quilts. So I love this quilt, though, and it's part of my trunk show that I take when I lecture, and everybody smiles and has a good time with it. So it does its job, and you know what? Quilters do themselves in this. So that's, you know, that's where it goes.
So where do you have it displayed? Do you display it? How do you?
I actually display this at the top of the entryway in my house. So when people walk in my front door, they know a quilter lives here. Periodically it comes down and sees more seasonal quilts go up, but 9 times out of 10, this one makes me happy. I want to look at it. So it hangs, and it needs to hang. You know, it needs to be out somewhere. So
what are your plans for the quilt?
It is my collection. I have sold quilts in the past and plan on in the future. I understand that is a way of also preserving them. This one will stay in my collection. This one is near and dear to me. There are a few things that you get tied to, and this is definitely one of them. So, and my friends are on it, so I have to keep it.
So tell me about your interest in quilt making.
I started quilting about 25 years ago. I was, after our earlier unsuccessful pregnancy, I was put on bed rest with my second pregnancy. Last 6 weeks, I'm a hyper crazy person. This is in the 80s, 83, and, you know, we're young college graduates right out of school, and no cable TV, nothing going on. I'm in a two-bedroom apartment alone most of the time. Better Homes and Garden book and a box of Kent's fabric samples from my mother-in-law's furniture store. And I hand-pieced a dress and plate onto a bed sheet. And that quilt took me a very long time to finish. But by the time I had this amazing, beautiful daughter, I had a top done. And it, you know, that was a start. I don't have quilters in my family. My mother taught us growing up. I grew up in southern Ohio, garment making for 4-H. And I can tell you, having your mother as a 4-H advisor, Joyful Jumper was not joyful. It was, that zipper must have gone in 9 times before it was perfect. Try to kill me for saying this, but 9 times before it was perfect. But, the, you know, to be able to get rewards from that was to be able to go back to Gal Place and do my lecture for her group of friends and have them, you know, I am what I am because of the way she taught me. You learn right, and then you break rules, and you twist and change. So, and she's now taking up quilting. So that is, you know, I'm able to share my craft with her. So that, she doesn't call herself a quilter, even though she's made a couple quilts, but I'm the quilter in the family.
So what does your family think of your quilt making?
Oh, geez. It was a hobby that turned into a business. I was kicking and screaming into designing that first pattern by my friends. I was always taking commercial patterns and turning them into something of my own. A local quilt shop, the Glass Symbol here in Columbus, the owner, you know, you've got to do this, you've got to do this, you've got to do this. My husband's a graphic designer. I had no reason not to. We are self-employed and have our own business, so during downtime I was able to play on the computer and play with different things and came up with the first pattern. It has turned into a very nice little business for me. And I think that it's also, along with that, it's taken me all over the world. I went to Japan and taught quilting in Japan, have been all over the United States, and it's taught my children that if you are good at something, look where you can take it. You know, that even, you know, my oldest is a writer, middle one is into music, and the youngest, haven't gotten there yet. But anything they do, they could take somewhere. So it's not, it kind of took off that feeling that people seem to think they can't go farther. You know, oh, it's just a hobby. Well, you know, look where I've taken it. So it's kind of a incredibly supportive family, incredibly proud of me. My mother shows up at the show tomorrow. 90% of the show floor will know she's been there because she will just, this is my daughter's quilt. So and I've been able to do some really special things for them, quilt-wise, so that they are commemorative, and that's why I use my maiden name as my middle name, respect for my parents.
So tell me about your involvement in MQA.
Belong to a local chapter, the Quintessential Quilters, I can't remember what year it was, 98 or 99, they had their show in Columbus, Ohio. My husband being a graphic designer, we jumped on board to help with advertising, marketing. Incredible organization, have helped me grow personally with meeting and making contacts in the quilting world. Because of that, National Quilting Association, I'm also on the board of the Applique Society. I do predominantly applique. It is my love. I tease because I have to. I used to tease that my sewing machine sewed straight lines. Well, I'm kicking and screaming into the machine quilting just because of the time factor of getting things done. But as far as the National Quilting Association or quilting organization, you can sew for a very long time in your closet or in your bedroom. Until you get out into that world, I can't explain the difference of how it impacts everything that you do in your life with clothing. The teachers that you're able to take classes from and meet and organize, and it's just, you know, to do that. Get involved with your guilds.
So describe your studio.
We live in an older home in Worthington, Ohio. After years of sewing in an upstairs bedroom, I took over the formal living room and dining room. The dynamics of how we use our house is not, we are not a formal dining room and formal living room type of family, and they had furniture in there that was never used or sat in. I think we've eaten, in the 14 years we lived in the house, we ate in the dining room twice. So, and the dining room is right off the kitchen. Wonderful, huge windows with natural lighting. I now can see my design wall from the kitchen. So when I'm trying to play out a problem on a quilt, I can hang it up on the wall and look at it throughout the day in different light, from far away. And being on the first floor and being in that space, I'm still connected to my family. And it's not an off-limits place where, oh, that's mom's room. My fondest, you know, quilting memories, as I was going over the paperwork earlier, was my 25-year-old, when she was young, laying under my quilting frame and talking to me. And it's kind of that, you can't see me, so I can talk to you, but and I'm doing my stuff. And we had such great conversations, and she remembers that. And they have always participated in what I'm doing. You know, their input on what I'm doing and oh, don't use that color, or, you know, so they're very much a part of what I do, and they're very much a part of my studio with their artwork and their bits and pieces. You're inspired by everything. And a neighbor walk into my house, a non-quilting neighbor, new neighbor walk in and walks into my living room, and I have an 8-foot wall of fabric. And she looks up and she goes, oh, do you sell fabric? I'm like, no, it's mine. It's all mine. Not sure if you can come back. But that, you know, it's a part of my life, and it's right out there in front, you know. It's a part of my life. So
you quilt on a frame?
I quilt on a frame. I also quilt on a hoop. Depends on the project. The bigger it is, the frame is better. Although I find that I'm using the hoop, stationary hoop, or floor hoop, more and more because I can move it around the house. And depending on what's going on, and I have an incredible screen and porch, and so it's kind of nice. These wonderful mornings that we've been having, getting outside and being able to do something in natural light again. The older we get, bad eyesight.
Not the truth. So, give me a little more details about your studio.
Oh, my studio. Okay. I slowly and eventually have moved all the normal house furniture out of those two rooms. The hand-me-down dining room set, et cetera, has all ended up at the curb periodically. I have, I think, 3 sewing machines in there at this point, a wardrobe full of books, a design wall that's about 12 feet, a foam core back or fronted with plano. I have a high waist or high table in there for cutting board that is movable, so I can rearrange the room as need be. It is, as I said, a part of the house, so it's something that, you know, the kids, the family, the children, everybody is all involved in there. I don't have any of the bookkeeping or computer in that room, because that's my space. Comfortable chairs for my friends and space for my friends to come over and sew, which is a plus. They don't always say, for a longest time, they were coming to my house. You know, it was a place that we could easily spread out. That dining room table makes a good... it stayed. The dining room table stayed. But there's a lot of fabric, a lot of thread, a lot of mess. Recently, about 2 weeks ago, had an intervention with my friends. They decided that having an engagement party coming up for my daughter, who's getting married next May, and they showed up at my house with baskets because they were going to clean my sewing room, and I was a bit miffed. It was like, I would rather they dug through my underwear drawer than dig through my sewing room, because this is, you know, an extension of me. I once told somebody in a lecture, she asked me, oh, everything you make. Well, there's a secret. I want to show you what I want to show you. You know, you don't get to see what is down, tucked away in the bottom drawer and then underneath. And they found it. And they also found the 5 seam rippers I couldn't find and the extra pairs of applique scissors that were tucked in wrong places and the piles and piles of drawings of things that I... And they did organize me, and I would recommend being better organized. We've lived in the house, like I said, 14 years, and there's 14 years of accumulation. And we all, or I think that I've grown as a quilter, that I'm not using the same tools and I'm not using the same processes that I used before, but I've kept all of that. So it by the end of the day, I had forgiven them. I had forgiven them for invading my space, although I had to check their bags before they left to make sure that they didn't take off with any of my little treasures.
So how has advances in technology influenced your work?
My husband being a graphic designer and a web designer, the internet has just, I don't know how we did it before that point. In researching anything you're trying to create, be it the humblest heart or the antique pattern or a picture of a macaw, anything that you want to come up to is available on the internet, along with the availability to enter those contests, to download the information that you need, to get in contact with other quilters. I'm on the board of the National or the Applique Society. They are their offices are in Squim, Washington. Without the internet, I would not be able to be participating in their discussions and their organization at all. The fact that I can send photos back and forth is amazing. I have friends in Japan. To be able to talk back and forth to my Japanese quilters and send them information back and forth, which takes so long with snail mail, et cetera, and Design Factor. I mean, to be able to scan in and do and change a lot of what I do is created on paper. I actually design with freezer paper and a pencil and a big eraser. But it's put into the computer to refine, to define, to organize, to get things back into a shape that's workable. Not everything can be 10 feet tall, so you know I have to stay within restraints to be able to do things. So I don't know what I would do without my computer. So please, let's keep the electricity on.
Do you belong to any other quilt groups?
I belong to the Quintessential Quilters, which is our local guild. It's a chapter of the National Quilting Association. I also belong to the Westerville Quilters, which is, I live in Worthington, the Westerville Guild. I belong to the National Quilting Association, the American Quilters Society, and the Applique Society. I've been on the board of the Applique Society for about 7 years, and Applique is my love, so I will, and I do publicity PR for them and their shows. I also have a living room group of 5 ladies that I sew with. We're called the S&M Quilters. That stands for Stitch and Munch. Although maybe the process of making a quilt and some things we go through would be a little I'm not sure. But that is, you know, they are 5 quilters, though, and all 5 of us have sewed totally. None of them applique. None of them are published. None of them signed their own patents, nor do they wish to. We've got Civil War. We've got reproductions. We've got piecers. We've got hand piecers. We all do something different, but it's amazing how I can be stuck on a project and they can come and look at it with a totally different view. And so they have inspired me more than they know. And when I recently won an award at the quilt show, the second person I called after my mother was my quilting group. Just, they have to know. One of the group is in Hawaii. I called and left a message because it was like, you know, we are definitely going to celebrate this when this is over. And they do that along with the other points of not good things happening. You know, so it's just that group is my, we all started the guild at the exact same night, got stuck together because we were all brand new to the guild about 15 years ago, and we have been incredibly close, retreats, road trips, you name it.
So whose works are you drawn to and why?
Oh, I wouldn't say that it's a particular artist or more of a venue. I am drawn to Amish quilts. Amish quilts are pieced, and it's not something that I do, but I think it's the graphic, contemporary look of an Amish quilt. The strong contrast of color and the workmanship. I mean, these ladies are taking something that is so utilitarian in their culture and creating something beautiful and taking pride in that and also taking They are taking no prizes. They're taking no, you know, acknowledgement that they've done it. I mean, it has been put on a bed and it's used. That, to me, is just, you know, Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. I have followed quilters, taken classes and followed quilters such as Gabrielle Flame, and I've taken classes with Nancy Crowe, Pat Campbell, trying to think, I've lost it, but I've taken a lot of classes and taken repetitive classes with some of these teachers just because of what they'd be able to offer. Do I want to emulate their style of quilt? No. I think that I'm enough of an artist to see that I want to do my own stuff, which is why I'm designing my own stuff. It's like, you know, I don't want to do someone else's pattern. So
what advice would you offer someone starting out?
Oh, my goodness. Take classes. Take as many classes as you can afford or handle. Join the guild, the show and tell, the camaraderie, the amount you learn just from sitting next to somebody is amazing. But also, don't do what you love. You know, if you hate to hand quilt, don't do it. There are so many processes out there that there's bound to be a fit. And something you like. I was once working on a border to a quilt at a retreat and had a quilter walk up to me and what are you doing? Well, it had pink trees on it. Navy blue and pink trees on it. And a pink moose. What are you doing? And it kind of hurt my feelings a little bit. And several months later, actually about a year later, the quilt was in our local show and she walked up to me and she goes, those borders were the butt ugliest things I've ever seen, but that quilt is beautiful. And so, you know, it's had I been more, had I paid attention to her, I may not have finished that quilt. If I had let somebody say, dictate what I should be doing, I would have put my Northern Lights quilt, or Nuclear Winter, as my husband calls it, would have not been finished. And so my advice to them is, you know, obviously it's going to take criticism sometimes, but at other times, be true to what you love. I mean, if you want to glue it down there, glue it down there. It's your quilt.
So do you think of yourself more as an artist or a quilt maker, or do you even make the distinction?
Make the distinction. I define myself as a quilter, and I have for a long time. People ask me what I do, I quilt. And they look at you, you know, professional settings sometimes. It's like my husband being a graphic designer, we are affiliated with photographers, with the art world, with designers, with illustrators. And so in a business situation, you know, I can wear cool clothing, I can wear something in, and they see it as an art. But to walk into a school function, it's like, oh, my mom quilts. And it's, no, I'm not somebody who sits at home and, you know, I'm not 90 Amish, which there's nothing wrong with being 90 Amish, but... You know, but I define myself as a quilter. If someone were to ask what I do, I quilt. And I quilt because I love it. The fact that I am hopefully able to make a living doing it is definitely a plus. But the fact that I am able to do it and make some living is just amazing. And I would encourage, you know, get out of the closet, get out of that little bedroom and do what you can. I've always been the artsy crafty kid. I've always been the one that took things a little in the other direction, you know. The kindergarten teacher colored the tree green and the trunk brown. Well, my tree had orange leaves because it was fall, and it had a white trunk because it was a river birch. There were not boundaries, so, you know, I think that way. I still think as an artist, and I look as close as an artist, but it is process of putting the needle into the fabric that makes me happy. Makes me incredibly happy.
What do you think is the biggest challenge confronting quilt makers today?
I would say the lack of knowledge out there of what quilting is. Trying to do publicity for a show and getting people to realize if they walk through the show, they would see the art. They would see the technique. They would see the ability. Getting people to realize that quilting isn't just a blanket on the bed. I forgot what the question was.
Biggest challenge.
Biggest challenge. for quilters is being taken seriously as a valid, you know, how many people have we brought into Columbus, Ohio for this quilt show, and, you know, getting the city to acknowledge that quilters are here is just, you know, been a very challenging haul, you know.
Is it getting easier?
The Dispatch, the local paper a couple weeks ago ran an ad, a very large ad on the Quilt Surface Design Symposium. It's an incredible show with a very limited amount of space and a limited amount of women that pay very high prices to be taught by the Nancy Crows and the Libby Lehmans and in the art quilt world. You know, we've brought thousands of traditional quilters to Columbus, Ohio, but to be able to get a full-page spread, we got a blurb, and it was like, you know, it's challenging. It's challenging to be taken seriously and to be, you know, how to get past that. I mean, you look at any interior decorating magazine, and they've got a quilt in the room. They're, you know, it is, we are there. You know, we are in the museums. We are hanging in the galleries. We are, and it isn't all on our quilt. Not that there's anything wrong with our quilts, but there are a lot more of the more traditional or more contemporary quilters out there. So hopefully someday, with organizations like yours, we will get that word out there.
So tell me about winning awards.
Oh, geez, it's kind of an afterthought. I mean, I quilt because I love to do it. I also am a people person, so getting out there in front of people and sharing what I do, teaching. I love teaching. I love that moment when the light bulb goes off in the student's head and they, I can do this, or that's a great idea. That, you know, I can be having the worst day in the world and I have a class in the evening, get in the car and it's like, I get to go and get paid to spend time to work with students. The awards, you enter shows because I love the attention. I love seeing my work up there with everybody else's. Got to unpack a recent quilt show. Opening all those and knowing mine was part of that was incredible. And getting accepted into jury shows, having someone else say, your work was good enough to hang up here, is incredible. To get a phone call to say that your quilt has won an award, come pick me up off the floor, because I would be a terrible quilt judge. You do not want me quilting, because I wear my heart on my sleeve, and it's the story behind the quilt or the quilter. I mean, I want to give them all awards, because to get to that point, to get that up on the wall, you know, and I know that can't happen. I know that can't happen. The awards are just icing on the cake, the awards, the acclimate that comes with it. I just, you know, I'm a quilt junkie. I hope this
actually it's not.
Good.
Yeah, you're doing great. So that is fine. So what do you think makes a great quilt?
I had trouble with that question when I read over it and was trying to come up with, you know, it's a great quilt. I was once given a quilt, and Aunt Jenny, if you listen to this, please take it in the frame of mind that I've given it. Another aunt is going through cancer, and we had a very difficult time going on, and we decided we were having a women's weekend. My Aunt Jenny has picked up quilting throughout her life, bits and pieces, and we were at dinner, and for thank you for organizing things, she hands me a box, and inside the box is Amish wall hanging that she had made for me, and it's not square, and it's not very well sewn, and I got it hang on point so that, you know, the feeling I had when I opened that box, if I could just pass that on to everybody. I mean, somebody took the time to make me this, if I could just package that says it in a nutshell. That is why I quilt. I mean, it's just, you know, I've given a lot of quilts. I have done a lot of things. It's not the perfect quilt, but it is, you know, it wins an award in my book you know, it's hanging in my bedroom, and it's, again, one of the first things I see when I wake up in the morning. So how better than that? And that makes a beautiful quilt. The perfect quilt is one that speaks to you as soon as you look at it. You can look at artwork from in galleries and just walk by it, you know, I don't get it. Sometimes you stand in front of a quilt and you get it. You know, it's, you know, how could you make stitches that small is important, you know, or how the, but to walk in front of something and just, wow, that to me, like I said, would be a bad judge, because that would be, you know, if lectures or people are actually showing you their quilts and talking about their quilts, I would want all of them, because it's like, oh, and things like this, if you can get the stories behind the quilts, that's what, you know, that, I once told somebody or heard somewhere, you don't get to pick the heirlooms. What my kids will value out of my collection will not be the one that won the first place ribbon or the one. It'll be the one with the aliens on the back of it. It'll be the one that has personal meaning to them, that they snuggled into watching TV. So, you know, that, you know, I pull them out of the closet, you know, get them, you know, make sure that people know what they've got. That makes a valuable quilt.
So tell me about teaching in Japan.
I was contacted by the city of Worthington. I live in Worthington, Ohio, to make commission by them to make a quilt for their sister city of Sayama, Japan. In the process of meeting with them and talking about the quilt, they invited me. I actually joined the International Friendship Association. I'm a big joiner. I have a hard time saying no. Joined the association, and in the process of commissioning and making their gift to Sayama from the delegation that was going over, I was invited to be part of the delegation that went over. I spent 10 days in Japan. I homestayed with a quilter who was so excited to get an American quilter that she had me stay in her home 10 days before her daughter's wedding. Her daughter got married the weekend after I left. And in Japan, weddings are a big deal. So they have two ceremonies. It's a big deal. And the fact that she wanted me to stay and actually carted me around all the different events was incredible. I was able to teach two quilting classes, applique classes, while I was over there. The first class I taught was in a community center, and I did not have an interpreter. Now, the Japanese people know or study English as we would study French or Spanish in our high schools. They study English, but their speaking knowledge of English and their textbook knowledge of English is quite different. It's quite different. But I was amazed at how a needle and thread and a pair of scissors and having my samples in front of them translates everything. And the funniest thing was sitting there with these little Japanese ladies all around me and threading that needle on the first try. And them all saying, ah! Now, never had I threaded a needle on the first try under that much pressure. But, I mean, it was just any quilt group would have done that. And so it was just across the board. Because of that exchange program, I have such a bigger world now. Or such a smaller world, how you look at it. They email me, and I send presents back and forth and packages back and forth. And, you know, I have sent them patterns and gotten back photos of completed quilts. Quilting in Japan, you know, the houses are a lot smaller. The venues are a lot smaller. What they create is incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And it's patchwork. You know, it is hand sewing. They don't have the elaborate crazy. When Sukuma came and visited me, my sewing room blew her away. My house blew her away. You know, we are middle-income American, you know, family, and it was just, and I've had the honor of having them stay with me and having their children come and stay with my children. So we've done, my kids haven't gone over there yet, but I've had my 15-year-old, had two 15-year-olds stay last summer. It was just, and that would not have happened had it not been for quilting. Had it not been for, you know, oh, Terry took quilts. We will see if she can do
something. And my quilt is hanging in City Hall in Sanma, Japan.
So that's pretty awesome.
So what does it look like?
It is a silhouette of the logo of the city of Worthington, which is a street scene silhouette, with, and then a sunset background with a border around it that's also a silhouette of leaves, so that they could get, you know, Worthington is a very a suburb of Columbus, but also small town feeling. So it was definitely, I think it's a little gone with the windish, but I had to get some specific colors in for their particular project. So my husband used to walk by going, dun, 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 whenever I was working on it, because it really did look like the Burning of Tara with this, this, you know, this beautiful sunset hand-dyed fabric behind a black silhouette of building. So it's just, you know, but, yeah, and I was treated as a celebrity over there. I was introduced as famous American quilter. It's like, no, in my own little world. But, you know, they someday, someday.
So tell me about the quilt that you sleep under.
I have on my bed a king-size Amish Irish chain, which, you know, contradiction of words, that I made for my husband and I's 22nd or 23rd anniversary. It's a newer quilt, king-size for the king-size bed. I actually had a local quilt shop machine quilt it because it was so large. I don't enjoy piecing, so it was a class I took with my group of sewing buddies. And like I said, I like Amish quilts, so I may not make a lot of them, but I collect them. So I'm acquiring bits and pieces of Amish memorabilia, and I have it in my room because that is, you know, and my kids all sleep under quilts. I call my trunk show my working quilt. You know, I will at any time have to go around and pull things off of different places to take them with me. I was getting ready for a lecture one Friday night, and woke up the next morning, and all the neatly stacked quilts that I had on the kitchen table were downstairs under 8 teenagers, because they had all, oh, that's okay, we'll just take them downstairs. And I'm like, makeup and pop. You know, we use our quilts. They are not something that, you know, I have been hanging all over the house. They are art. Had a friend, somebody said, why are you hanging that quilt on the wall? And my youngest said, because the wall was cold.
Oh, that's sweet.
But, you know, that's, they are pieces of art on my wall, but they're also on just about every piece of furniture.
Is there any part of quilt making you don't enjoy besides piecing?
I have to tell you, when you get that last stitch of that binding on and that quilt's done, I miss it. The process of actually planning and designing the quilt is a blast. The process of sewing the quilt, it's absolutely wonderful if it goes right. If you struggle with things, that's a whole other issue. But sitting and sewing on it is my joy. If I could sit and sew 24/7, I would be the happiest, fattest, happiest person in the entire world. When you finish it, you have to start all over again. And it's like a friend is gone, you know? And a lot of times, if I've made them for gifts, they are gone. Or they're being sent off to shows, they are gone. And I recently finished what I thought would be my last hand quilt and quilt, full-size quilt. I miss it. So it won't be my last full-size hand quilted quilt. I worked on that for several years. So it's, you know, a part of everyday life was to go in and sit down and spend a few hours working on that quilt. So, yeah, it's that finality of it being over, that project being over. That's why I have to call my friends over and they have to do the happy DM. Let's go in.
Yeah, well, we are getting near the end. So I always like to ask people if there's anything you want to share that I've not asked you or you've had an opportunity.
Oh, if you are even vaguely interested in quilting, go to that quilt shop or go to the local rec center and take a class. Try it, because there's a reason through the centuries women have picked up needle and thread, and men, it's, you know, there's a reason why it's still here, and it's a reason why in Hawaii they hid things on the bottom of their quilts, because women were able to have voices doing something as mundane as adding a needle to a thread, and you know, take that first step, and you will not regret it at all. And if it doesn't work out with that particular class, take another one, because there are thousands of ways to sew and to create a quilt or to create something out of fiber. So that would be that's my legacy. I hope that's what my kids take out, and my students, and all my friends, because I couldn't do this without my friends.
Where is quilt making going?
Oh my goodness, if you would look at any given show that you walk through, the abilities that women are able to take from starting out with a straight stitch on a sewing machine and creating the incredible amount of thread that they've put down on quilts with machine quilting, to taking applique to the most tiniest. It seems like we will take the simplest of things and see how far. Is quilting dying? No. There's a resurgence of people wanting to get back to that, doing that on their own. The worst hindrance to that would be time. And I think that's where the sewing machines and the long arms and the people that are able to finish all these UFOs that we have sitting. Quilting's out there and it's big, and it's, you know, the economy, all those things affect us, but I think that they affect us in a plus as a minus. You know, if we're not traveling far, we will attend more of our local events. We will get to that gallery of maybe we wouldn't have gone to see those quilts because they're not our style, but you know what? We're not going to be doing all these other things. So I think quilting is there, and it will always be there. I think that it was centuries ago, it will be again. So I don't think I'd want to live in a world without quilting.
I know I would.
That's for sure. Well, I want to thank you for taking your time for doing this interview with me. And we are going to conclude our interview at 10:10.